Welcome to Pastor Bedtime. I'm Andrea Belke.
And I'm Caitlin Cook.
And it's just us today.
Just the two of us. I wish we could play Will Smith's song. Maybe we can. Probably not.
Wait, is that a song?
Yeah.
Just the two of us?
Oh my
How
God.
Does it go?
Just the two of us. I can't sing right now.
That's not a tune.
It's not the tune. Hold on. I'll find it really quickly. It's a really good song. Yeah, I should not have sang that. Here it is.
I don't know if it's going to play, though.
Yeah, this is a very sensitive subject.
Oh, my gosh, that's an ad.
Son. No, that's his son. I'm sorry I'm doing this.
Okay. I guess
hopefully
I've heard
we won't get in trouble
before.
For playing a song.
Hopefully you could hear that too.
I know. Well, if it sucked, we'll edit it out. I love that song. Anyway, it's on his album that was with what's that other song? Miami and Getting Jiggy with It.
Miami. Okay.
I love Will Smith, man.
Now that you had to go through that.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
So I'm so excited because, well, I don't even know why I should be excited about this because we're not going to actually meet her, but Mariah Carey is in the building.
I'm sweating over this right now. She's like a studio over from us where we've recorded before, and we walk in and our producer was like, so Mariah Carey's here?
No, that's
no big deal.
Crazy.
I know.
Well, a lot of celebrities come through this place because it's a radio station, but I haven't seen a ton of the big ones, but Mariah Carey is huge.
She's a living legend, and, you know, yeah, I think we've heard of some people coming through, but she's here right now as we're doing the show. So it's taking everything in me to not like you stumble into the studio and be like, oh, I'm sorry.
But what would you do if you were face to face with her?
Honestly, I don't know. I might start crying out of bodily reaction. And it's nothing like I was sitting with my friend Larissa yesterday in a cafe and all of a sudden that song came on. I'm not going to sing it because I can't sing right now. What's that song? Where she was on the roller coaster in the music video.
I don't know.
Anyway, she's an icon. And so I think when you get in front of people like that, your body sometimes just like takes over. I don't know. You interview celebrities all the time, though. So would you just kind of be like, hi?
Well, that's the thing is because I interview celebrities all the time, I don't really care that much. But Mariah Carey's a big deal. Like, we would never have Mariah Carey on our show because she's too big.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? That would be amazing. But
yeah, but I don't even know what I would say to her.
I know.
When it's an interview situation, it's super easy because they're there for the interview to plug their show. So
right.
I'm not usually nervous to talk to celebrities. But if I ran into Mariah Carey, I think I would be super awkward.
Me too.
Like, hey, cool. Like, nice to see
you. Great job your whole life.
Because as much as I'm not usually awkward in social situations or when I interview celebrities, like, I would be awkward running into someone that big. I don't think I would know what to say.
Yeah, because it's not even that I'm her number one fan or something,
no,
but
I'm
it's
not
just
either.
Like, yeah, it's like you grow up with these people. It would be a very different story if it was like NSYNC or Hanson or something. I would have so many questions because I like grew up loving them. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting that someone can have that much like power in just being.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
We can kind of feel it through the screen too.
I
feel like she makes a lot of people nervous.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not even someone, I don't even get starstruck really, but
I know.
I was very excited when I saw her.
Who out of people either you've interviewed or someone you've just like met is someone that you did get starstruck by or that it was kind of that where you're like the magnitude of meeting them is so crazy?
Oh, I would say Donald Glover.
Oh,
because
I
that
love
was
him
right
so
after
much.
He released This Is America.
Oh my God.
And it was for the Star Wars premiere for Solo. And he's just amazing. So sometimes I think on the carpets, I get a little more like starstruck-ish because it's a different setting.
Yeah.
Like studio, you have all the producers. I have my co-host Jeremy with me. So it's not a big deal. But when you're on the carpet, it feels like you're on the fly.
I know. And they're just like coming up to you down a tunnel.
And also Emilia Clarke.
That
was at the same premiere. And she's just such a cool girl. I mean, I look up to her a lot.
Yeah.
I wish I was her.
I mean, she's so freaking cool.
She's amazing. So those are two people that I think were like highlights. Like,
yeah.
Getting to meet both of them. And also recently, Rami Malek was pretty
dope. Oh, yeah.
Dope.
I mean,
and
he's phenomenal.
You can always tell when a celebrity doesn't really want to answer the question or talk to you. But Rami Malek was actually really invested. And
that's amazing.
Cool. And then Mike Myers photobombed us.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just, like,
no big
ridiculous.
Deal. Again, no big deal. I mean, and that movie's really good.
I actually haven't seen the movie.
It's so good.
I did the carpet, but didn't see the movie.
It's really good. The only thing, which is, this is not a spoiler, because like you can find everything online and it's a true story. But I thought it was like kind of scene for scene real. But a lot of it was not. A lot of it was like hyped up or something was added storyline wise. Like, I thought I was watching kind of the true story. but it's like a version of...
Interesting.
Yeah, it was a little bizarre.
It did not get great reviews.
Yeah.
But Brian May, who is in Clean, he was a producer on it.
Right.
So I feel like it's supposed to be pretty accurate.
Yeah, I think it's accurate, but then they like amped some storylines up to kind of give more drama, whatever. It was really good, and Rami is incredible. I mean, his performance is a reason to see the movie. But yeah, a lot of it was like really disconjointed and bizarre, but... I liked it. You should see it. It's really good.
I definitely want to see it.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean.
Did you see A Star Is Born?
Yeah, I did.
Did you like it?
Well, yeah. I think we talked about this because you were like, did you like it?
No.
Oh, see, I liked it a lot. I was like weeping, but.
No, this is the problem is, okay, I know. Obviously, if you guys haven't seen these movies, you're like,
yeah,
I'm checking out.
But go
we
see them.
We won't go into it, but I'm someone where, first of all, I get very tired and very bored really easily. So a movie has to be very good for me to like it. Now, A Star Is Born is like apparently really, really, really good. I saw it, but I was also so tired and like in a bad mood. I was just in a funk that I just, I don't know. I didn't like feel that emotionally connected to it, but I think it's because it was overhyped. So when especially for on my show for people, it's like, all we're talking about is A Star Is Born. Oh, Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper, we love them, we love them. And then I finally see the movie and I'm like, oh, well, I mean, it was great, but it was so overhyped.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with movies. I try to not. It's literally your job to learn all of this and interview these people. And I think sometimes I try to go into things not knowing kind of anything about it, because then it lends to being a little more like, you know, what's going to happen next? Or I'm not expecting too much. I really wasn't expecting too much. And I saw it with my mom and my sister, and I think like I was just in a sad mood. So it like lent to being, you know, overtook
me. If you catch me in the right mood, I will bawl my eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I recently bawled my eyes out in a spin class.
What?
So, no, this was like ridiculous. No.
I don't mean to laugh at you.
No, it's like you should
be
laughing.
That's amazing.
No, I went to Peloton, which is a spin studio in New York, which I love. And it was a spin class to country music. And it was perfect because I had been gearing up for the CMA Awards. And I was like, okay, cool. And I actually grew up on country music, so
yeah.
I like it. But it sounds weird to spin...
To country.
Yeah, to spin to country.
Yeah.
Because it's not like...
It's like a hip-hop, like, oons type of workout.
Usually you work out to pump me up music.
Yeah.
But it was country music and like slow songs, like ballads. I don't know. I was just like taken back to my childhood. And, you know, some of it was, you know, there's a lot of Tim McGraw, Live Like You Were Dying, like that song.
Yeah.
Live like you were dying, go skydiving, I went.
Thank you for redeeming our singing.
Climbing, I went. And I don't know. It got to me. So I pushed myself so much. And then at the end, I was like doing really well in class because you can see where you are with the other people. And then at the end, all of a sudden it ended on like a slow ballad. Oh, they played Strawberry Wine. And Strawberry Wine 17.
I don't know if I know that. Who sings that?
Dina Carter.
I don't know if I know
that. One of my favorite songs of all time. Side note, if anyone is a Survivor fan, I would sing country music like on the island. And Malcolm was like a big fan of that. We would like stay up all night singing country
music. Was that
music
to like soothe your soul?
Yeah, because you're just miserable. And then, you know, Malcolm would be like, oh, Andrew, sing Strawberry Wine. So I would sing it
That's
to all
adorable.
The people in the shelter. Yeah.
That's so cute.
It's also just something to do because you're so bored.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I love country music, especially the older country.
Yeah.
It's weird listening to country in New York because it's a weird juxtaposition of walking down a street with all these tall buildings and you're singing about cornfields.
Right.
So it's bizarre. But at the end of the class, all of a sudden I was overcome with emotion and I started... Just
weeping.
Losing it. Like, I was, like, straight up crying, and I had to hide my face because I was in the front row. And I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't stop crying. I just, all this emotion came to me about my childhood, and now I'm so much older, you know? I'm gonna
That's really beautiful.
Going to be 30. But it was weird. It was this mix of nostalgia and sadness. It was very bizarre.
Well, I think, too, when you work out, I think physically you're opening up your body, and I think that probably does something to you, because I took a boxing class recently and by the end I felt just like crying because I was like proud that I made it because it was fucking hard. Sorry, my mouth. But so I think that probably lent to it too. But yeah, I mean, if you're taken back, anytime I hear Spice Girls or Hanson or whatever, I think about like my sister, and then I get really emotional because, you know, I miss her. But and country music is also just like... sad a fair amount, so
yeah, it was
I love that though.
So here I cry during a spin class and not A Star Is Born.
But that's okay, we all react differently to different things. It's fine.
Yeah,
I mean, anyway,
All right, what's on your mind, Kaylin?
I'm going home for Thanksgiving, and I'm really excited about that. I'm excited to just get a break from the city, but I'm going to my 10-year high school reunion, which is pretty wild. So it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, I'll report back and let you know if it was awkward or fun. But we had a 5-year, which I think most people don't do. And so I went to that and that was fun. But it was kind of like we're all still right out of school and a lot of people right out of college. So, you know, it was a little like it was a little awkward, but people still kind of knew each other. Now it's been so long that like a lot of us have moved away and haven't seen each other in a while. So I have a plan with like a couple of my friends that I still like, you know, see and talk to just like kind of hang in the corner and like get pretty drunk. So we'll see how it goes. But it's just like a weird thing because it brings up like, it's not even insecurities per se, but it brings up, I feel like I'm back in high school. Like I feel like I'm like, well, who am I going to sit with? And, you know, who am I going to talk to? And, oh, you know, I don't want to see this person. And it's just like a weird feeling. Like I'm an adult. And I live in New York.
And
but
I feel like probably the people you went to school with are very different, right?
Very different. I mean, it depends, too, on who it is. Like, a lot of them are married with kids, and that's great, but that's just not where I am. And a lot of people have stayed back home, which, again, is fine. But I just live a different life. And so I shouldn't say that because I guess some of them live a different life too. But, you know, it's just like it'll be interesting to kind of see where people are. And also, like, if you recognize people, that's also an awkward, like,
did, hey. Do you have anyone that was specifically really mean to you that you'd feel weird about seeing?
I'm trying to think in high school. I don't know, but middle school, yeah. So I think about those people, but I don't think they were at my high school with me. So, no, I don't think it's even that. It's just kind of like, you feel like you know, like we've talked about this, but you feel like you know these people and their lives because of Facebook or Instagram or whatever. But I haven't seen some of them in 10 years and they don't know my life, but they see what they see. And everyone edits their lives and, you know, you see all the lovely stuff. But then, like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, hi, what have you been up to? Okay, bye. Like,
yeah,
it'll be interesting, but I don't know.
Yeah, I missed my.
I was going to ask if you went. Yeah.
No. Well, the first time for the 5-year, I was actually on Survivor. So my mom was answering my Facebook messages.
That's
which
amazing.
Is also dangerous. My mom had my Facebook account. Okay.
I would love to see the things she was sending.
I was a class officer. So I was in charge of helping organize. But on the island and didn't have a phone, didn't have internet. So I couldn't. And basically, there was this group message with all the other officers. And they were like, okay, we're going to plan this, and these long paragraphs. And my mom responded as me saying, sounds good. So they probably thought I was such a bitch, like not planning at all. And it's totally against my character. I'm someone that I'll get very involved.
Oh, yeah.
Very detailed and very, you know,
gung-ho
about
stuff. And I would see throwing an amazing reunion.
Oh, yeah. I'd be totally into it. But I wasn't there. So I ended up, you know, my
That's
mom
hilarious.
Responded for me. And then the 10-year, I had something work-wise I couldn't go. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I liked high school, but I'm not really friends with too many people from high school just because I'm here. I've been here 7 years. And then all my friends back home are pretty much my cousins at this point.
Right.
My cousins and sisters because I have such a big family.
Would you want to go to like your 20 year?
I would. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we both had pretty good high school experiences, right? Like, you didn't have anyone that was super terrible to you, did you?
There were some mean people. I've talked about on the podcast before. There was the one girl who, remember her boyfriend had explained what head was.
Yeah.
Because I was so naive and he was like, oh, you want to give me a head? And I was like, what does that mean? And then they explained it to me. And then the girlfriend found out. So she would call me a bitch and a slut in high school. And then I called her up.
I was going to say, didn't you call her? Which is so mature of you.
And her dad answered because it was before cell phones. And then I got a hold of her and I was like, hey, can you stop calling me a bitch in the hallway? And she's like, okay.
You were so sweet.
There were some girls that were mean, but I mean, I was fine. Like, I was pretty tough, but I wasn't allowed to go out very much, right?
Right.
So one time for volleyball, the girls were having a get together, like the whole volleyball team. And my parents legit just wouldn't let me go. I don't know why. They were like, you can't go. So I couldn't go. And what happened was they called me and they were all listening on speakerphone, right? So I'd initially told them, sorry, I can't go. My mom says that I can't. And they called me then, like hours later, I was at home. And they're like, hey, so why can't you come to the thing?
What?
And I didn't know I was on speakerphone. And I said, oh, well, I don't know. My dad just said I can't go. And they're like, before you said your mom. wouldn't let you.
Oh, and I was like, come on.
All of a sudden, they all start talking on the other end. Yeah, no. So then I knew I was on speakerphone. And then I said, I mean, they're married and basically on the same
they
page.
Both make the decisions for me.
They're in cahoots. So sure, first I said my mom said I couldn't go. Then I said my dad couldn't go.
Oh, my God.
But I was so mortified the fact that I was on speakerphone with these girls.
That's so evil.
And also, they were being mean to me because they wanted me to come.
Right, which doesn't make you want to be there. Yeah, it's just a weird...
There were a couple girls that were kind of feisty and a little mean. But then later, what's actually funny is one girl, and I would never, who cares? It's so long ago. One girl that was particularly would make fun of me for anything. Later, after I started doing well in career and TV stuff, she like hit me up. It was just so, it's just so funny who comes out of the woodwork.
Absolutely.
Also, I was like, dude, you've been mean to me my entire life up until now.
Right.
And now I'm on TV, so you're going to reach
out. So now you want to be my friend?
Yeah, and I can see right through that. But of course, I don't hold grudges.
No.
But I would hope that someone, if I ever did something mean to someone in high school, which I'm sure I did, I think about even exes and
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
I would hope that they would look back and think, okay, Andrea was a little mean, or she jumped me on the spot and was kind of this way, whatever. I would hope that they realize we were young. Who
Everybody
cares?
Makes mistakes.
We learn from it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know. I look back on things that I did. I don't think I was really mean to anyone, but I was mean to boys.
Which is kind of badass.
No, not that we should be mean to boys. No, I would date someone for 2 weeks and then just jump them. That was high school, though, you know?
Yeah, it's
so
how things work.
I'm sorry to all my ex-boyfriends of high school that I dated for 2 weeks at a time.
But, you know, I don't know. I had so many boyfriends in middle school, which, like, is middle school. But, you know, that's what you did. You dated someone for a week or two, and then you kind of moved on to another. That's just what you did.
And dating was weird. In our high school, I don't know if it was like this in yours, we didn't see each other outside of school.
No.
Oh, same for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, thank God. That makes me feel more normal. I mean, maybe on the weekends you would go to a movie, but that was it. Like, movie or walk around the mall. That was it.
Well, I wasn't really allowed to date until 16.
Yeah, so, I don't think I was either.
So, 15, I had a couple boyfriends. And basically, you would just... I don't even know how they came to be looking back. I guess you would be flirting, and then somehow they would ask you out.
Do you want to go out? Yeah, that was always
you want to go out.
You want to go out,
but that
yeah.
didn't mean you were actually dating. It just meant that you were going to hold hands in the hallway.
Exactly, and like talk on IM and put them in their your bio.
I didn't even have IM.
Oh my gosh,
no.
Ever?
No, ever. Never had it.
Andrea.
Never had
IM. I wish it was still around so that I could create one for you. It was like the highlight of my life. Like, I would sneak down at night when everyone would be sleeping, and I would turn on the family computer and just like get online and chat with my crush. But that's like a rite of passage. I feel so sad.
No, because we didn't have internet or anything.
Andrea.
We didn't.
Oh my God.
When did you have internet? I feel like internet was what kind of came in like middle of our high school experience.
I forget. Get exactly when it was. I don't think it was in middle school. I think it was like maybe freshman year or something. But back then it was really MySpace. Like that's kind of all people had. No one had Facebook or anything. So we had Instant Messenger and MySpace. But yeah, you had to share the family computer and you had AOL dial up. And if someone was on the phone, you couldn't get on the computer. Like it was kids these days. I sound old, but kids these days have no idea how great they have it. Like,
I think it's the other way around. I think that do not envy kids these days.
Well, that's true because they're constantly
bullying online.
That's very
and,
true.
Like, being so plugged in all the time. Like, I'm always sad when I see kids that are so glued to their phone.
I know.
Then again,
I know.
I'm so glued to my phone.
I know.
But it would be so much worse if I grew up with all of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that was the beauty of, like, only having internet access, you know, at some hours, particularly when I would always get in trouble for it. But because you couldn't spend all your time on the computer. Now we have a computer in our hands constantly. And like we've talked about before, like, you're expected to always be able to be, you know, connected and to pick up your phone calls and whatever. And it's just a weird time to grow up in this technological advanced age. That's my TED talk.
Wait, going back to high school, though, when was your first kiss? Or was that middle school?
My first kiss was in middle school. I was in sixth grade and it was with Brady Hill. And I... oh, this is a bad story. Have I never said that? This is a mean story. So buckle up. I was dating this boy named Richard, and I was like the new kid because they all went to elementary school together, and then I went to their middle school. And so I get into this group of friends, and I start dating Richie. And on his birthday, I thought we were supposed to have our first kiss, right? Because it was his birthday party, whatever. We're like babies. We're like 12 or 13. And Brady was my best friend who I had a really big crush on. But I was dating Richie and they were best friends. So we go to his birthday party at his house and everyone like awkwardly cleared a spot on the love seat in the basement so Richie and I could have our first kiss for his birthday. So I went upstairs and pretended to vomit in the bathroom because I didn't want to kiss him. And I didn't know what I was doing. And then all these people were watching. It was so bizarre looking back. Like, why would they do that? So anyway, I pretended to throw up and then he still wanted to kiss me. And I said, no, I just threw up. That's weird. I broke up with him that night on the phone. And then I started dating Brady, I think like a day or two later, whatever. You know, terrible mistakes that I make. But we had our first kiss in the movie The Rookie, which was a Dennis Quaid baseball movie.
Oh my gosh.
Super romantic. And we were in the back row of the theater and with our friends, and the girls were like teaching me how to kiss like on their thumbs. Like, I didn't know what I was doing.
like French kiss or just...
Yeah. So that was my first kiss. I don't know. What was yours?
Gosh, I don't remember the specific time. I feel like everything kind of blurs. Like, I don't remember... Wow. I know that for a while I was telling people my first kiss was in middle school on the bus, but really what had happened is a guy just grabbed my arm as I was walking off the bus and kissed it. So people be like, cause you know when all of your friends that had your first kiss?
Yes.
You were like, oh yeah, I already had my first kiss. It was on the bus. And then finally one day I told someone that it was just someone had kissed my shoulder or arm. And they're like, that's not a kiss. But I know that it was with this guy, Jeremy, who was my first kind of boyfriend as a freshman. And I think it was back. Oh my God. It's so weird. I can't remember the exact first kiss. Who can't remember the first kiss? So weird.
But it's a weird experience. Yeah. So it makes sense.
I'm pretty sure that it was in the back hallway before track practice.
Oh.
Yeah, and I remember that it wasn't great. I didn't know it wasn't. It just felt like a fish. You know?
Yeah.
And it's two people that don't know how to French kiss.
Oh my gosh.
You just move your mouth in like really fast. Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah, but I mean, this is maybe such a weird question, but do you really like French kiss now? Like, I feel like a lot of kissing now that we're older is like pecking or like open mouth kissing, but like, I don't know. Back in the day in like sixth grade, I remember thinking that two tongues like just circled around each other and that's all you did, right?
Yeah.
But that's not really what I do now. So wait. I don't know if I'm like kissing wrong now or what I'm doing.
So you don't really use tongue?
I do sometimes, but like, I don't.
This is so funny because I was having this conversation with someone else and so it was a couple that I'm now friends with, which actually I set them up. So boop, boop.
Oh my gosh.
But he was
Cupid.
Saying that he was surprised that she didn't use tongue because that's how you French kiss. Oh, absolutely I use tongue.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like
I guess I do too. I do too, but it's like...
But not... You don't want to use too much.
Yeah, and it's not two tongues circling each other like a race. like bend the tail on the donkey.
Wait, so you have kissed like that?
Back in the day. Oh, yeah. Well, you just like didn't know what you were doing, right? And all that you learned was either from your friends who didn't know what they were doing or from watching like a movie, which you don't see, you know? And in movie land, for real, it's like a discussion with another actor if you're going to use tongue or not. Like it's like an open mouth kiss. So I feel like kind of what's put out in the media and what you could like sneakily watch, you know, as like a 12-year-old, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a ring around the rosy, but with tongues.
Like, yeah, I think it's just a medium ground, but definitely don't swirl it in a...
No, don't swirl. If you're listening and you're trying to learn how to smooch, don't just swirl your tongue like a fish because it's weird.
That I think it was a friend of mine was teaching me how to French kiss on my hand.
Uh-huh.
And then, oh my gosh, when my parents found that out, they were pissed.
Well, yeah, it's scandalous.
It's so scandalous.
It is. I actually also practiced on... This is so embarrassing. Oh my God. I haven't thought about this in so long. I practiced on... My mom had this stuffed... This is so embarrassing. This stuffed doll of Dan Marino, who was a... He was a football player for the Miami Dolphins. She was like obsessed. She still is like obsessed with him. And she... She had, like, you know, a doll that was maybe like a foot tall or something, and I would practice on that. I would put lipstick on and practice on his mouth. So now I don't know where it is in the house, but there's lipstick all over his face.
That's amazing.
But
wait,
I mean,
did she ever find out that that's what you're
doing?
Oh,
I'm pretty sure. And if not, we'll have a good laugh about it now. But I think I also practiced on, like, another doll. I don't know. I had a lot of dolls. So did you not practice on just your hand?
I don't think I practiced on anything else. I think I always just practiced on my hand.
Like, in the, if you, like, squeeze the fist, like, in the little hole.
Yeah.
I mean, girls got to do what a girl's got to do.
I know.
Or a guy. I mean, you got to learn.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because I feel like now that I'm older, most people kiss, like, similar to how I do. But I have had the rare occasions where someone is just, it's like you, what we were talking about, like, to the races.
Yeah.
Or, like, tongue, like, darting in and out and, like, crazy. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Have you ever had a really bad, like, sloppy kiss where there's just, like, spit all over your face or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I've had that, too. Or people, like, they think that you want it to be really aggressive and they, like, bite you.
Yes.
Which is not, they don't, like, if you're gonna, like, bite someone, make it soft, not, like, actually hurting you.
Like a playful nibble.
Yeah.
There was, I, part of me thinks I made this up in my head, but I don't think I actually did. I fainted from kissing. Have I ever told you this story? Same person, Brady Hill, in sixth grade. We were dating and we were in his basement watching a movie or something, and someone else had come over and went upstairs. So we had like 20 seconds to make out, you know, it was our time. And we started kissing, but he was blocking my nose somehow. And so I literally, like, passed out, and I woke up and he was like, "Are you okay? What's going on?" But I wasn't breathing because I was kissing him and my mouth or my nose was covered.
It's that easy to faint?
I guess so. I really, part of me thinks I made that up, but I don't think I did. You know how you have memories where you're like, did that really happen?
Yeah.
But I remember, like, his brother being around, like, overhead being like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I kind of came to and I was like, "Yeah, what happened?"
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Interesting. I feel like I don't know anything specific, but I feel like I know what you're talking about, where you have these false memories. I mean, no, that might be, that maybe it's true.
I think it is true, but you think about things sometimes where, like, did that actually happen?
Yeah. Like, but you had already convinced yourself that, like, it for sure happened.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's always been just fact. And then you grow up and you're like, wait, I think that's real, right?
I know. I'm trying to think of, like, something else I've done that with, but the fainting smooching story is definitely something that I would love to check in with him and be like, did that actually happen? I mean,
and you're like, no,
I think he's like married now and that's fantastic. But for so long, he was my love. Like, I thought that was it. And then he wasn't. So what are you going to do? I mean, but, you know, again, it's like I go, like, I'm excited to go home because I go back to my bedroom and I have just, like, my closet is full of my old journals and stuff with, like, people's names and hearts all over it. Like, do you have stuff like that still?
Oh, I used to journal a lot. Yeah, I have a lot of diaries, but I would always edit everything in case my mom would find it. So
you had to be.
Yeah, so it would be a very edited version, which, like, little, you know, like stars or something, which maybe indicated something else. Because honestly, I don't even know where my diaries are right now. But I used to journal a lot. But I feel like our rooms are probably very different. Because in my room, there was a deer head mounted on the wall.
No. Did you have a name for it?
No.
It was, you, like, just, like, looked at it every day, like, hi.
Yeah. No, I mean, in my house, there's many.
Yeah, you've told me
there's
that.
There's many deer heads mounted, which I'm sure
I don't have
very
any deer
different.
Heads. I don't have any deer heads. I had a lot of posters on my walls, and I would write all over my walls, too. Yeah, but that was about it. I had pictures of, like, NSYNC. I didn't have a deer head. But to each his own, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I liked waking up to Justin Timberlake's face, but it's okay. It's fine. Speaking of Justin Timberlake and just, you know, singers, I'm going to try to segue. I want to talk about the CMA Awards because you just killed it on the carpet. You were incredible.
Thank you.
I mean, first of all, everyone listening right now, just pause this and go to her Instagram and creep on her photos because she looked like a fucking movie star.
That
I can't
so
say
nice.
It enough. Like, you looked so amazing and you did such a good job. Like, I'm so proud of you. I know this was such a big deal. So I just want to talk about, like, how was it for you? Were you freaking out? Like,
I mean, I was so excited. So I hosted for the VMAs. So that was my first awards show. But that one was a little more run and gun and not high production. This one was kind of my first CMA awards. And I wasn't too nervous because I do have a knowledge of country music. I was just excited because I had a spot by myself, but there was a lot of pressure of, okay, like they're putting you on the carpet.
It's just you.
Better deliver. And I think it went really well. It was a lot of fun. And I know I'm not trying to sound, I don't want this to sound vain or anything, but like, sometimes on carpets or at work, I know that I look good with my hair and makeup, but hair and makeup can like make or break you. And the girl that did my hair and makeup, Ashley, she's tagged on my Instagram. I mean, she killed it.
She nailed it. You looked so good.
I feel like that's the best I've ever looked.
I mean, you look amazing right now too, but like, you looked so incredible. I can't say it enough. Like,
it's crazy how much work goes into it. Like, I had my stylist, which sounds so douchey, but no. The stylist that styles me for award shows, Ani, is so good. I wore this black dress with a slit up the leg. I felt so good, which I can't, I can't say I always feel hot when I do these award shows. Sometimes your eyelash is falling off. Sometimes your hair falls flat.
Right.
This one, I was like, man, this is...
You looked being amazing.
That's probably my peak.
Well, and someone said that it was cold, or you said it was cold, right? You were talking to someone saying it was
chilly
cold.
Because it was raining and we had to walk like outside. I didn't have an umbrella, so I had all these papers like held over my head because I'm like, I didn't do 2 hours of hair and makeup.
For nothing.
For then my hair to be all wet. But yeah, it was great. It went really well. It was just so fun.
Who was like the person you were most excited to see? And then was there anyone that surprised you? Because you are a country music fan. Like meeting them was different.
We didn't get a lot of the big, big stars because they just don't do the carpet. They just do the pictures.
They like walk.
Yeah. But I mean, Luke Bryan was really cool. And Garth Brooks was there. And Dan and Shay, they're like up and coming country stars, but their songs are killing it right now. They're like really popular. I've interviewed them many times. So seeing them again, it was cool because a lot of the people would recognize me.
I was going to say, I feel like you had a lot of repeat people.
Yeah. So I feel like they're kind of my friends now.
I know, which is so cool.
It was great.
I mean, if you tell like 10-year-old Andrea that you just freaking did the red carpet at the CMA Awards, like, she would be flipping out, you know?
Yeah. It is one of those moments where I have to try to really, like, cherish it.
Yes.
Because you know how it is. You could be doing the coolest thing ever, kind of like when you do that commercial.
Oh, yeah.
And you were stressed.
Oh, yeah.
So I did try to, like, take it all in and be like, okay, this is really cool that I'm doing this because I don't know if it's going to happen again. And ideally, I'll keep doing carpets and it'll just go up from here. But it was a really cool moment, which I'm very happy about.
I'm so proud of you. And I don't know how you do it. Like, again, you know, you guys have to just, like, go back and watch the footage. But you're so good at... First of all, you really listen to people, which is something that I get so annoyed, probably because we do this show too, but when I watch interviews and you can tell the host is just like, okay, on to my next thing. And they don't either take the time to like listen to what they're saying, or I feel like sometimes you're kind of making up questions on the spot. Do you, or do you kind of go in with everything like knowing what you want to ask them?
Well, the most important thing about hosting, well, and acting is, you know, is listening. So
yes.
Anyone that wants to go into hosting, that's the number one thing. You have to be listening. But also in the back of your mind, have a couple follow-up questions if they're not saying something that leads to another question. But if you're not listening, they could say something like, oh, and I'm pregnant, and you would totally miss it. Like, you have to be listening. I have a set... I follow-up questions always kind of in the back of my mind.
That's amazing.
But
I don't know how
you
do it.
You have to be just totally engaged. Almost just like a conversation you would have with your friends.
Yeah. But like knowing all of that knowledge, like, you know, when you do movie premieres or whatever, you have to know. Like, I remember when you studied for the VMAs and you were like, I have to know what these people have done, or, you know, because you have to be on your game and you can't just look at, you know, Donald Glover and not know X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Well, I studied for a while for CMA Awards because the thing about that is you don't know who's going to come down the carpet, and also if you're going to recognize them. A lot of people look different, all dressed up. But one trick that I did for this awards was there were two spots that we had in the carpet, and it would flip back and forth to, first it would be at Jeremy and this lady Cindy that was doing it, then it would flip to me. So while I was off and the guests would come up, I did a little trick where I would introduce myself and say, hey, and what do you have coming up that you want me to plug off the top?
That's so smart.
Yeah. So then they didn't think I was asking, who are you? Or what's going on? I was acting like I was going to plug that off the top. So they would say, oh, I'm about to go on tour with Carly Pearce and, you know, also my album, which then as soon as I was rolling, I'd go, oh, I'm here with so-and-so and he's about to go on tour, which is awesome, with Carly Pearce. And so that's why I looked like I knew everything about
that's incredible.
So just
that's such
trick.
An amazing
you
trick.
Have that luxury of having that much time before someone, sometimes they just walk up, but I felt like that really helped.
Well, there was one person, Jessie G, is that her name? She came up with, okay, I'm screwing this up, but there was a really big country music legend that you were speaking to, a woman, Martina
McBride.
Was it her that came up with Jessie G? She like had
you're talking about Gretchen Wilson.
Gretchen Wilson.
Yeah,
okay.
Who sings Redneck Woman.
Okay. I knew who she was, but so she came up and then she brought this other woman in and was like, I'm producing her or something. Like, was that a moment where you were like, oh my God, who is this person?
It was more a moment of course, you're trying to plug
something.
The person
that
you're, but it was fine. Like, you just have to go with it. That's the hardest part for Carpets is when all of a sudden someone video bombs you or just comes into your, because then you have to include them, but not get so off track.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun.
Sorry. I want to pick your brain because I think it's fascinating. I mean, I don't know how you do it. It's incredible. Like,
it's a lot of, I mean, it's, the more experience you have,
and
I'm so grateful to have these experiences. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to watch back though, because I tried watching some of it back and I was like, I don't know. I'm like obviously my biggest critic.
I know.
But
well, and watching yourself anytime is terrible. Sometimes I like can only listen to this show once to like, you know, plan what we're going to say. But sometimes I'm just like, why did I say that?
No,
so
I know.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
We have meltdowns all the time.
All the time.
You get in your own head too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even about just this kind of stuff or different performance. It can also be about anything in your life. Like some people, I don't know if you're like this, some people will play back a conversation they had with someone over and over and go,
all the
why
time.
Did I do that? Why did I do that? I have a lot of friends that have that. I don't, but I'm more anxious about future stuff. What if this happens? What if someone says this about when I said that? I'm talking about, you know, this podcast. What if someone this? And those things haven't even happened yet.
So I do that too. Yeah. I guess I'm just anxious all the time. I don't know. But yeah, I do like past and future stuff. But yeah, I think probably more in the past. I like think over sometimes. I'm like, why did I say that to that person? Or, you know, you feel the need to like, I think that's what I did like a year ago. And then I should be like, I should apologize to that person, but they've forgotten about it and you need to chill out. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like you will go back and apologize
for
stuff.
Well, because I think I have a lot of time to think about stuff sometimes. Like, I pack my schedule and then when I have my downtime, I'm just with my brain and it won't shut off sometimes. So it's like, why'd you do that? Or, you know, you say so, like, I am the queen of being super moody to my boyfriend and unfortunately he really gets like all of my bad day nonsense. And so we'll have conversations and I get off the phone. I'm like, he's going to dump me. Why did I say that? Like, get it together. I mean,
no, I know. I'm queen of moods, too.
It's fine.
Speaking of moods, let's do a couple listener questions.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, yeah, this actually goes with the whole mood thing. Erica says, hi, friends. My name is Erica. I'm from Montreal. That's awesome. Recently came across your podcast. I'm enjoying it. She's a Survivor fan. She likes when we share our personal stories about mental health and everything. She says, I myself struggle with borderline personality disorder and ADHD, and I'm currently in a funk. After having felt pretty good for a couple of weeks, my attention is off the walls, my moods are low, and I'm worried I may be spiraling out of control into a dark place. I was wondering if you guys could give some insight on how to get out or what to do when you're in a funk. Thanks for being great. Wishing you all the best in your future endeavors. Erica.
Thank you, Erica. I will say that Andrea and I talk about this a lot off mic, if you will, because we both go through these slumps where we've talked about it, but you know, call it depression, call it a funk, whatever you want to call it. But we get in these really dark slumps and you know, we always come out on the other side, of course. But sometimes for me, I can only speak for me, but for a few days at a time, I'm just like, you know, I'm ready to pack up and move home and everything is horrible and I don't want to talk to anybody. And then I come out on the other side and I'm like, everything's fine. Like, I forget that it feels that bad in that moment. So I totally sympathize with you. And I mean, if she has all of those things diagnosed, my guess is that she has gone and, you know, spoke to someone. And if not, then you definitely should, Erica, because we're not medical trained professionals and we can give you our advice. But medically, I'm not sure. However, I think just being open and talking with your friends is super important, or your family or someone you trust. And also doing things, like getting out and doing things, even when you don't want to be around people, go to a movie by yourself or go walk around. But if you're just like constantly inside, especially on social media, that can also like make your funk even worse, I found.
Yeah. No, I've been trying to get off social media a lot. Or something that kind of, this sounds so ridiculous, but something that kind of stresses me out is answering my texts to like, I'm kind of crazy where I'm like, I have to always respond right away. And then I'll get stressed when I have a lot of texts I have to get back to, or I'm not talking to people as much as I'm supposed to be. So I'm trying to kind of get rid of a lot of that. And like I talked about in last episode, I stopped drinking as much, which has kind of helped. But girl, I feel you. It's like some weeks, all of a sudden, I feel like I'm spiraling out of control and it's not going to get better. And I get to the point where I almost, you know, I've made an appointment to go see a psychiatrist, but then all of a sudden I'm out of it. And also the psychiatrist appointment was like $500. And I was like, oh, I'm not paying that.
Yeah.
And then I get out of it and then I forget that it was that bad. So I don't know. I think it's just a constant struggle of trying to find that peace with yourself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just really, I mean, I wish I had something more helpful because I've been there and I'm still there all the time, you know? But I think that the most important thing is taking care of yourself. And I saw something the other day where it said, you know, in order to take care of yourself, maybe don't answer the call, maybe don't respond to the message, maybe don't check the email or whatever. It was something like that. But I really do stand by that. I think you have to take care of yourself. And if that means canceling plans or making plans, you know, whatever it is that you need to do, do it. Don't do things for other people when you're in that slump, if that makes sense. Like, do what you need to do.
Absolutely. I did that yesterday, actually. So I got back from Nashville and then yesterday had so much going on where I had to go right back to work. We're recording this on a Friday, so it's not like I was working on Sunday. But yeah. I had to go to work, then do another thing, then had an audition, and then I was supposed to go to the Rockettes with friends. Yeah, and honestly, I was having a meltdown, and I'm like, I don't want to go to the Rockettes. And right now, the weather is atrocious.
It's so disgusting.
It's just disgusting.
Especially yesterday, we got like 5 inches of snow.
Yeah, and I was pissed about how my audition went, which actually turned out to go well. But in the moment, I was having a meltdown, and I was putting so much stress on myself to go to the Rockettes because I had these comp tickets. And then I realized my friends are not going to be upset if I really explain why I can't go. And I called them and I said, hey, I'm sorry that we had this plan and I had these comps. I mean, they were my tickets too, so it's not like they were, you know, there wasn't even any money spent. But I'm like, I know you guys were looking forward to this, but I'm kind of having a bit of a mental breakdown. It's not good. Like, I'm kind of spiraling. I just need to get home and like sit on my couch and rest.
Yeah.
And they were so supportive, obviously, and totally understood. And once I knew, okay, my friends aren't mad at me, and now I don't have to go to this performance because I'm actually spiraling, I'm going to feel a lot better. And I went home, I put on some candles, I sat on the couch, I just unpacked, and I felt so much better. I got stable, and then, you know, then the next day comes, and I felt okay. Like, I woke up today, and I felt great. So I think sometimes with those moments, you have to let your friends and family know, hey, I'm not doing well right now. I think I have to cancel this. These are the reasons. And it's okay to admit that you need a little break for your mental health.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the most important thing. And, you know, and also in turn, I was with a friend the other night because we've been trying to get together for a while, and I was having a hard day. And in that moment, I did want to be around someone. So, you know, I think just being vocal about what you need, and also and just taking time for yourself is super important. But I hope that you are okay, girl.
Yeah, keep us updated. All right, should we do one more? Okay, we have time for one more. All right, so this one, it's from Olivia. She says, hi, my name's Olivia. I'm a 17-year-old from Wisconsin. Woo, woo, shout out Wisconsin.
Woo.
She says, I recently started listening to your podcast. I love them. They're hilarious, relatable. I just listened to episode 3 about losing someone and grieving, and it made me feel relieved. I know it's weird to say because I don't know you guys, but hearing how Andrea coped with the loss of her sister made me feel like I wasn't the only one who coped negatively. When I was 14, I lost my uncle to cancer, and that was the hardest thing that has ever happened to me because we were really close. It's been almost 3 years, and I still think about him most days, and there is still a huge empty feeling in my heart. Does that emptiness feeling ever go away? away? Does the pain of losing someone so close to you get lesser as time goes on because it's been over 2 years and I don't get so sad every day like I used to, but when I do, I have to take a minute because something triggered me and it still hurts just as much as it did the day he died. Thanks for taking the time to read this and keep making podcasts.
Oh, thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, Olivia.
I think everybody handles grief differently, and I probably talked about it on that episode, but I handle it really poorly usually. Like, I kind of bury how I'm feeling, and I get really angry a lot. And this actually just happened to me, too, where I went to a screening of a movie called Ben is Back, which is a really great movie. It's a Julia Roberts movie, and Lucas Hedges plays her son. And all I knew about it really going into it was that he was, like, a drug addict, and that's kind of all I knew. And it's not ruining the movie, but he is a heroin addict. And my cousin died of a heroin overdose almost two years ago, 2 days after Christmas. And I went to the movie by myself and I left. And I was like openly weeping at the end of the movie. And I left and I just went on the sidewalk and called my mom and I started sobbing. And I was just like, it's not fair. It's not fair. And I was so angry. And she's, you know, we had a talk about that. But my point is I get triggered a lot with things. And I think a lot of it for me has to do with, like, I don't always deal with death when it happens. Like, I kind of just push it aside because I don't want to handle it. But things can trigger you out of nowhere. I mean, and I don't think there's a time limit on when you're supposed to be okay. You know, like, my friend committed suicide in high school and he hung himself. And so when people make jokes about you should go hang yourself or something, which I don't think is a joke anyway, but people say things out of, you know, whatever, they aren't thinking. And so when people say things about that, or I watch a movie again with something like that, I get super triggered too. And again, it goes back to the same question. You have to know what is best for you. But I get it. I don't have an answer other than, like, I experience it too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. When we recorded that episode 3, which is a long time ago now, but that one is a complete deep dive into grief and mourning and dealing with people dying. It was very intense. I was feeling kind of like how you were describing, as it had just happened that I lost my sister. And then after that, it was very therapeutic, got that out there, and haven't really had any, like, really hard days until recently. It was maybe a couple weeks ago. I did have a night where it was so crazy, almost like PTSD-esque, where I couldn't stop thinking about the moment that my sister died and just picturing it over and over, and like her on the street and dead. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And I kept seeing her face. And a lot of times I do get really sad where I'm like, man, all these cool things going on. And I wish that my sister was here to experience it. You know, like Jerry would think me being at the CMA Awards would be so cool, or I love to travel and she would totally be with me if she was here, and would we be best friends? Would she live in New York with me? Would she hate me? Like, I don't know. But I had this that a couple of weeks ago. It was just so bad where I was having a full on crying meltdown at night and couldn't stop seeing her face. And it was just like, oh my God, stop. Like, stop. I don't want to keep seeing her face. And it was horrible. And then, you know, it went away and now I'm fine. But I wish I had better advice on how to get over it. But at least I can tell you that you're not alone and this is completely normal. And it's only been, I think it was two years. And so, yeah, I was dealing with my sister's death for like years and years, and I'm still not over it, which isn't really that, you know, that comforting. But it's not that comforting, but it does, obviously, with time, it gets better. And I think that I would always recommend talking to someone, going to therapy. I did not do those things, and I think that led to a lot of other issues that I have, because shortly after I lost my sister, then I was cutting, and then I had the eating disorders, and I became very obsessive. And then I feel like just recently, the last couple of years, I've been more open about it, and it's been helpful. So I would say, you know, talk to people about it. And yeah, it's okay to go to therapy, and it's okay to, like, deal with these things. And you shouldn't be ashamed of still feeling those things. I still feel those things.
And it's okay to feel whatever you feel, too. Like, I think, like, when my cousin died, I was so angry because my family is pretty religious. My dad's side is. And so he kind of strayed off the path, if you will, when we were younger, and he died when he was 30. So his older brother, and then my sister, and then Daniel, and then me, the four of us were like brother and sister. And growing up, we did everything together. And then there was kind of a big gap from me to the next cousin. So we all are still really close with our other cousins, but the four of us were like a pack, you know? And then when all of this started happening and he kind of strayed off, it was just like, you know, oh, he's not coming to this, you know, family function or whatever. And you kind of lose touch and whatnot. And I got a message from him on Facebook. Like, we all went on a family vacation years back, like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And that, I think, was the last time that I saw him. And I got a Facebook message from him after, just like, you know, saying how good it was to see me, and that, you know, me being in New York and like doing everything that he saw me doing and going after my dreams, like, made him want to go back to school. And, you know, I still right now, like, I get really angry thinking about it, especially because it was something that was kind of like out of his control. Like, you know, someone gets you hooked on something and then that's the end of your life. So I also think, like, when he died, I was very angry, and I didn't really want to talk about it. And I think, like, everybody handles it differently, you know, and it's okay to feel whatever it is. Like, just because everyone else is sad doesn't mean you can't be angry as well, you know?
I would say, don't be afraid to reach out to family members as well. Just recently, I've talked with different family members and cousins and stuff about my sister, and realized that they didn't like talking about it back in the day and wish they would have. And I wish I'd have started talking about it and remembering her earlier on instead of pushing it away, because that just caused more issues. But,
well, and two, like with your sister or my cousin or her, Olivia's uncle, when you lose a family member, you have to also remember you're not the only one going through it, which is the point you just made. Like, keep reaching out to people, because when you lose someone, it can feel super lonely, and it can feel just, again, like you're in this dark void of only seeing their face and wondering what would be. But you have to remember, you're not the only one that lost him. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep that communication open. And I don't know, I wish I had a better answer, but you're not alone.
Yeah. And, you know, feel free to reach out to us too, because obviously we still feel things from losing people. And
And hard. I think it, you know what? I think it's good to feel these emotions, because, like we say, like, I wish I handled things better and not just like stuff everything down in the moment, because then it makes it harder. But it's good to feel these things, because it also means that that person meant a lot to you, you know? And don't forget them, and don't let their memory fade away.
And also, depending, I don't know if you're religious or not, but I do believe that people move on to another life or heaven. I do believe in heaven, and I believe that they are still out there in some form. You know,
and talk,
if you're religious or not, you can always talk to them.
Yeah.
I don't think once you die, you're just
me
dust.
Neither.
I don't think so.
Me neither.
We don't have answers, but I do feel like they still are in heaven or out there in some form, depending on what you believe.
Yeah, but I think that helps a lot. I talk to my grandma a lot, and I tell her stuff going on, and I like tell her about, I told her about when I met my boyfriend, because she was always so concerned about me meeting someone. So I talk to the people I've lost, and I think that sometimes helps. But also, sometimes you just want to cry or punch a pillow, and that's okay too. Like, you're either, whatever you're feeling is fine. And I think, like Andrea said, it does get better with time, but be gentle with yourself. Like, don't expect yourself to be over it, you know?
Yeah. All right. We love you, girl.
Yes. Seriously.
Not to end on a down note, but
I know. I just thought about Mariah Carey being here again to try to make myself happy. I don't know.
She's probably gone by now.
Probably gone.
Thank you guys so much for those questions.
Thank you.
And
really.
Keep us posted. Honestly, life can be hard sometimes, and we go through the same thing. So just know you're not alone in that, for sure.
And by you sending us these questions, it helps us not feel alone too. Because Andrew and I are super similar with stuff like this. So we'll be like, it's normal, right? And the other one's like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah. But then it's just the two of us. So it helps to hear from you guys.
We're like in our own bubble.
Yeah.
All right. You guys can always email us at pastyourbedtimepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at pastyourbedtimepodcast. Thank you so much for reaching out and for listening. And till next week, good night.
Good night.